So, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me here to give this small presentation. And also, so the title of my talk is Interaction Reduce, sorry, Induced Restoration of Phase Coherence. And this may sound a bit obscure, and I will warn you at the beginning, this is not something general that I'm going to reverse the notion that interactions actually kill phase coherence. Rather, I will tell you that in some particular geometry, some particular form of interactions can restore phase coherence understood in some particular way. But still, I think it's a very interesting story. And the other thing is, this work has been highly motivated and based on two papers, a paper by Kostya Matveyev in 1995, and a paper by Alainer and Glassman, which appeared a few years later. And so if you have read those papers in all detail and you understand them very well, then you can go to sleep now, because I won't then explain much more. But in case you haven't, and I must say I count myself among those people, then maybe this may be, I mean, at that time, there may be something in here. So I will be talking about phase coherence for transmission or reflection, actually, mostly reflection from quantum dots. And the quantum dots I will be talking about are big quantum dots. So, I mean, of the type that were made a few years earlier, and nowadays people are making them smaller and smaller. And if you want to find out what is the phase for transmission or reflection from a quantum dot, you might want to think of an interferometer. And the type of, or the first type of interferometer that I know of was made at the Weizmann Institute by Jacobi and others. And it is a quantum dot which is embedded in an Aronoff-Bohm ring. And the idea is that the conductance through the ring has contributions from two paths going, one path going through one arm of the ring, and the other path going through the other arm of the ring. And it has to go through the quantum dot where the electron can stay for a while. And so there's a contribution of interference of those two paths to the conductance. And this interference contribution will depend on a magnetic flux, which will penetrate the hole in the Aronoff-Bohm ring. And if you change the flux by one flux quantum, then the conductance will be the same. And if you change the flux gradually, you will see that the conductance shows periodic oscillations as a function of the flux that penetrates the ring. So this here, this geometry shows two things. It shows that the transmission through the quantum dot is phase coherent. So there is a well-defined phase shift for the transmission. And it also allows you to measure what this phase is. I will not be talking about the problem of measurement. What is the phase shift? I will be talking about to what extent is the phase that you see in such an interference or interferometer experiment, to what extent is the experiment phase coherent. And because this is a rather complicated geometry, and also because there were some more recent developments at the group of Mark Krasner at MIT, I will actually want to talk about a different geometry. And so let me first tell you what was the setup that they used. And this is a paper published last year in PRB by Goeritz and others. They have a quantum dot where they just measure the conductance through the quantum dot. So much in the sense of the experiments of the Marcus group that you have heard about in the previous talk. But the observation was kind of strange. What was seen is that the conductance was most of the time somewhere in between 0 and 2e squared over h. And then there were sharp resonances that have the form of a final resonance. And it's known that final resonances occur when there is interference between a direct path and a resonant path. So in that sense, it looks quite similar to this experiment in the Aronoff-Bohm ring, where you have a direct path which kind of just goes through one arm of the ring, and a resonant path where the particle stays a while in this dot. And so here you can, if you know that there is this interference, you can maybe put forward, well, here also we might have a direct path and a resonant path. The direct path would just be a particle which goes straight through the dot from one contact to the other, and the resonant path would be a path where the particle would spend a very long time inside the dot. And if you have such interference, That is, if the resonant pathways are sufficiently resonant, then you will see a signal like this. And what actually is the important thing about this is that if the temperature is much smaller than the escape rate from this dot, if I would be in such a resonant path, then the conductance goes down all the way to zero at those resonances if transmission through the dot is completely phase coherent. So in this sense, the fact that the conductance depends on the gate voltage on the dot, and that the peaks show this dependence and go then all the way down to zero, is a signature, again, of phase coherence transport through the dot. If there would be no phase coherence, you wouldn't see those kind of resonances. So
could there be other reasons why it doesn't go down to zero?
If there's a finite temperature, there's thermal smearing. So if you smear this resonance, then you will feel the bottom, and the conductance won't go to zero. If I have two single channel point contacts, and if the system is perfectly phase coherent, otherwise the conductance has to go through zero. That would cause it not to go through zero? Impurities usually lower the conductance. Oh yes, but then again, it's a final resonance. I mean, it doesn't. I don't want to say that it is this path with that path, but I only want to say a final resonance is a signature that something resonant interferes with something direct. So, but as your question shows, this geometry is kind of dirty. I mean, we don't know really what is the direct path. We don't know what is the resonant path. So I propose to look at something different, and that is the picture which was drawn on my introduction slide, where you have a dot which is side coupled to a very short lead. And I would call this a T-junction, saying that there is really the scale of this junction is so small that I don't have to worry about energy dependencies of the scattering properties of this junction. And so the quantum dot here, it's not really to scale, but you should think of this as being much bigger than this here. And so in this system, I would say it's clear what will be a direct path. That is just a path which doesn't go through the dot. And what is a resonant path, or what is a long path, that is a path that goes through the dot. The particle spends some time there and goes out. So this will be the system that I will be talking about. And I will study phase coherence in the system, by which I mean I will study how sensitive is the conductance to, let's say, a gate voltage on this dot.
In other words, this is what microwave people call a stub.
Yes.
That's an opposite.
Yeah.
The side wedge.
Yeah. So first, let's talk about how this system looks for non-interacting electrons. And then a description that I would use is that using the Landauer formula, and you start from the scattering matrix of the system. In this case, you can define two scattering matrices. You can define a 3x3 scattering matrix to describe the scattering from the junction. So here you have one reservoir, which is a source. There you have a reservoir, which is a drain. And then particles can scatter to the dot. So this is a 3x3 matrix, which I don't know. And which probably, if you ask an experimentalist to make a junction, which he won't know, because people are not able to characterize the junction to such amount of detail. But let's assume it's given, and because the thing is small, I assume it will be independent of energy. And then there is a dot, and since this dot only has one context, the scattering matrix of the dot is just the phase shift. So it's exponent I over zero. And you can put those two together, calculate the amplitude of going from one to two, and it turns out that to find the conductance, you don't need information of this entire 3x3 matrix. You only need a few parameters from this matrix. And let me go through those, because those will appear again and again in what I will be telling you afterwards. One of those parameters is a reflection coefficient R, which is nothing else as the element S33. This is the amplitude if a particle would leave the dot that the junction would scatter it back coherently. So if this, the corresponding probability is close to 1, I call the dot weakly coupled. If it is close to 0, I call the dot strongly coupled, or ideally coupled. And then you can write down what is the formula for the conductance, and the result is the conductance is some maximum, which depends in a way on those matrix elements, but it will just always be a prefactor, so we don't worry about it. And then an integral over energy with a derivative of the Fermi function. And then there are two terms. There's a non-resonant term, which is 1, and there's a 1/2 in front of the G max. And there's another term which is resonant in the sense that it depends on the phase shift of the dot. And it has two contributions. There's a kind of background phase shift which comes from the transmission through the contact. Again, nobody will be able to tell me in advance what it is, so it is just something. And then there's another phase shift which comes from the reflection from the dot. And here you have to take into account that this dot is not, I mean, it depends whether the dot is well coupled or not well coupled. It's given in terms of alpha zero by this formula. It's basically the phase shift of a dot with a tunnel barrier of reflection probability R in front of it. And so now if you look at this formula, the behavior of the conductance is as follows. If the dot is open, so let's say you have this what I called ideal coupling, then if you change the gate voltage on the dot, you will just change this phase shift alpha. It will slowly increase. So therefore, you expect that the conductance is just some sinusoidal or almost sinusoidal function of gate voltage. If, on the other hand, the dot would be almost closed, then the phase shift that you get from the dot is mostly zero, which is the phase shift that you get from this tunnel barrier. But then only when you are close to resonance, you have a quick increase by pi over 2, and then you get those final resonances. So then the signal looks like this. So it looks the same as in the experiment of the Kastner group. I don't want to say it has the same explanation, but it just looks the same. And if the temperature is much bigger than the level spacing in the dot, then you wash out all the signals, because then incoming particles enter at different energies, and they all pick up different phases. And so this sinusoidal signal will average out to a conductance which is 1/2 of the maximum value. Whereas if we have a tunnel barrier, it doesn't really have to be 1/2 of the maximum value, but it will be G max times 1/2 minus 1/2 times cosine delta. Namely, the phase will be mostly zero. So that's how you get it. So this is how I would say that if we are at a temperature that is much bigger than delta, we have lost our phase coherence. I don't want to say that the particles lose their phase, but because they come in at all different phases, and the phases that particles pick up are different for all incoming energies, and that's why we have no more signal in the conductance of the system that depends on properties of the dot. So now that comes to the promise.
What's the distinction between phase coherence and energy average, or are you?
So that's why I'm saying it. So I'm defining it here as the sensitivity of the interference term in the conductance on a gate voltage. So in this sense,
but it's not necessarily phase coherence.
It's not necessarily phase coherence. Yes, that is breaking phase coherence, for instance, by radiation or by interactions, might cause these things to smear. Temperature also does the job. If we have a dot which has only one contact, there are not really different ways to distinguish. So now I will study the case with interactions. And I'm sorry for blocking out a part of it, but otherwise the surprise will be partly gone. So in a dot, you have all kinds of interactions. I mean, all ways that the electron interactions manifest themselves. But I think it is agreed that the most important one, or the most dominant one, is the charging interaction. And so that will be the interaction that I will consider first. So I add to the Hamiltonian a term, which is a charging energy times the number of particles in a dot minus some dimensionless gate voltage squared. And so this EC is the charging energy. this calligraphic N is the dimensionless gate voltage. And what it does that is for a closed dot, it wants to fix the number of particles at the integer which is closest to this calligraphic N. And so that means that if calligraphic N is half integer, then it doesn't know where to fix the charge, and generally that would correspond to a resonance in Coulomb blockade. So therefore, I will use other formulas later where I will write N, this calligraphic N as some integer plus 1/2 plus a parameter X, which will tell you how far you are away from this point where charge is degenerate between N0 and N0 plus 1. And first, let us look at the case of weak coupling. That is, this constant R is close to 1. And then, I hope you don't mind if I just tell you the results. You can use a formalism similar to that of Mayer and Wingreen, or if you want something different, I think it will also work. You can write down what is a formula of the conductance of the system in terms of the Green function of the dot. You can then do the calculation, and you will find that when temperature is much bigger than this level spacing, but still much smaller than the charging energy, you have a form which looks like this interference form. There will be, because the dot is closed, there will always be this term delta. So there will be the 1 minus cosine delta, which is just the term that we had at high temperatures without the interactions. But then there will also be a phase that depends on the dot. And this phase contains, and I think that is the thing that I want to point your attention to, it contains a logarithm. And this logarithm arises from a non-cancellation of particle and hole contributions. And then you may say, hey, we have seen that earlier. Here we have a logarithm that arises from a non-cancellation of particle and hole contributions. It corresponds to a Kondo effect. And actually, that was what I mischievously removed from your view. In those dots with interactions, you can have an analogy to the Kondo problem. One can say that if I have this gate voltage, only states with a particle number and not plus 1 will play a role. And then you can identify N0 as an upspin and N0 plus 1 as a downspin, and then tunneling of particles into the dot will just correspond to a spin flip. So then you can ask, well, I mean, that is what you have in the Kondo problem. And you can say, well, X now plays the role of a magnetic field, namely if X is 0, and N0 particles and N0 plus 1 particles are equally probable, or in other words, there's no preference between spin up or spin down, whereas if X is non-zero, you have a certain spin direction that you favor, and T, which is the transmission amplitude in the dot, which is just 1 minus R squared, or the square root of 1 minus R squared, is the exchange constant, namely it tells you how easy it is for the spin to be flipped by particles that are coming from the lead. And if you have spinless fermions, you have a one-channel Kondo problem. If you have spin-full fermions, which is the case in reality, then spin is another channel in this problem, so you have a two-channel Kondo problem that you are mapping to. And then you can ask, okay, this problem has a Kondo temperature, which is exponentially small in 1 over t, and so you expect that Kondo physics will show up if temperature is much smaller than this Kondo temperature. And this logarithm, which I showed you, is just the first precursor of this Kondo physics showing up. So now you can ask, okay, what happens if we are at really low temperatures when T is much smaller than TK? And in order to get there, you can either lower the temperature or increase the coupling of the dot and the environment, because you can see there it is 1 over T in the exponent. And if you make T really big, then the Kondo temperature will be closer to the charging energy. And so that makes it really easy to reach it. So therefore, let us now consider what happens if I have a strongly coupled dot. So again, I have this dot here. And with a strongly coupled dot, I mean the probability if a particle exits a dot that it is able to find either source or drain is close to 1. And this can be studied using the theoretical methods that were developed by Matveyev and also by Flansburgh. And the idea is that you can map this problem to a series of one-dimensional problems by arguing that those point contacts are one-dimensional. And you can then treat the interactions by bosonization. And in the end, you have to do a perturbation series in this amplitude R, which is the amplitude of if you are in the dot to reflect back inside. The advantage of this method, or one of the features, is that you represent the dot by, well, it's that you don't take into account any coherent backscattering of particles that enter the dot and then would reach the contact again. So it's not only taking into account the charging energy, it's also taking into account other forms of interactions which will dephase the electrons. So let me then show you the results. For spinless electrons, what you find is that although the probability that the particles enter the dot is 1, I mean, we have no reflection probability from the dot, that there is still perfect phase coherence. That is, if I change, well, let me first show you the results, what the formula is. G is just T max over 2 times 1 minus cosine of delta, but now this phase alpha is nothing else as the number of particles on the dot, which will change continuously with the gate voltage. So this will tell you that the conductance depends like a sine on the gate voltage on the dot. And so this result holds as soon as the temperature is smaller than the charging energy, and it doesn't require the temperature to be smaller than level spacing. And the way to understand this is saying, well, we have this energy to the Kondo problem, and the corresponding Kondo temperature is the charging energy. And so therefore, if the temperature is smaller than the charging energy, you are in the strong coupling regime of the Kondo problem, which will mean that you have a Fermi liquid fixed point, which will mean that you have a coherent reflection from the dot, and that is just what is going on here. So if we have spinless particles, which you could, for instance, realize by applying a strong parallel field to the contact in the way that you have heard in Charlie Marcus's talk, then you should get a very strong signal of changing a gate voltage on the conductance, even though you are at temperatures that are much bigger than a level spacing. So if there wouldn't be those interactions, then you wouldn't see any effect. If you have particles with spin, then the mapping is not to a single-channel Kondo problem, but it is to a two-channel Kondo problem. And if you don't do anything to the two-channel Kondo problem, it has a non-Fermi liquid fixed point for which there is no coherent single particle scattering from the dot. And that shows up in the following way. Again, the conductance has this form of 1 minus something, which is an interference term. But now the prefactor of this interference term can be smaller than 1. And if you see what it is something proportional to an energy scale gamma, which is proportional to R squared, where R squared is the reflection probability in the contact, times EC, so that makes it still pretty big, times a sine squared of pi x, which tells you that on resonance, it's always 0. If you go off resonance, this becomes important. So if you have particles with spin, then you will see that there is still an appreciable dependence on the gate voltage, although it is much smaller than if I would have had particles with spin. And the reason is that I have this mapping to a two-channel Kondo problem. You can also ask, what is the phase that I will be seeing? And it turns out that this phase is different than in the case of spinless particles. It is not the number of particles, but it is 1/2 times the number of particles times 2 pi. I mean, if there would have been the number of particles, there would have been a 2 in front. Or one way to see it is that the phase goes like the number of particles with each spin direction. So you have to count particle number per spin direction, and that goes just half as fast. Then you would wonder, well, then my phase will increase by pi if I increase the number of particles by one. And the answer is, well, on resonance, there's an extra phase lapse by pi, which will restore the periodicity. And so this is all given here in this formula. I guess to show what is going on, it's also good to look at a phase diagram of what you would expect. So if you are close to resonance, that means to degeneracy. So if the particle number is either n0 or n0 plus 1, and the entities don't differ much, then you are governed by the non-Fermi liquid fixed point of the two-channel Kondo problem. And that would mean that I don't see any phase coherence or any signs of this interference. If you are further away from it, then you will see this Fermi liquid fixed point where the response becomes totally phase coherent, so where you have a very strong signal or signature of the number of particles on the dot. And I'm ready. I mean, I hope I haven't made you all fall asleep. The conclusions are that if we have this geometry where we have a dot which is side coupled to a T-junction, and then if you don't have interactions and your temperature is much bigger than the level spacing, you expect that all signatures of interference or of phase coherence in the dot will be washed out. However, if you then introduce a charging energy on this dot, then these are kind of restored, and the understanding is that you can map the problem to a Kondo problem, which has a Kondo temperature of order of the charging energy, which is much bigger than the level spacing. So with interactions, which is the case that you would have in reality, you would see a conductance which still has a very strong dependence on the gate voltage of the dot. Now, you can ask, is there a way to get rid of this? And my answer is yes. So you're able to map this problem to a single-channel Kondo problem if you have spinless particles, to a two-channel Kondo problem if you have particles with spin. Now, if you are able to open the dot at some other side by a point contact, then you're actually able to further increase the number of channels that appear in your Kondo model analogy. And if you have more channels than two, there's no Fermi liquid fixed point, and you don't expect that there's a strong signature of interference anymore. So by opening up the dot by another contact, you can get rid of all the signal, and you should just return to this here where conductance doesn't depend on gate voltage anymore. I think I was 5 minutes fast, but it will only bring us 5 minutes closer to coffee and tea. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I have a question regarding the mapping on the telephone model. Firstly, the electrical entrance of the dot, does that come out of the tension? In other words, can you hear that the electromagnetic line has the angle of the tension? And if it is not angle of the tension, then I wouldn't really put it.
Yes, but okay. For this, I have assumed that if a particle comes in with spin up, I mean, that you have spin rotational symmetry in the dot. Well, actually, I don't think you have to think of states in the dot. I mean, I'm not assuming anything of a particle being in a state. I mean, that would require that I have to assume that there is phase coherence inside the dot. For this Kondo analogy, you just assume a particle enters, and that means that your fictitious spin is increased by one, or a particle leaves, and that means that it is decreased by one. The fact that they have two spin directions means I have two channels for particles to enter and two to exit, and I don't think there's anything more to it. No. Okay. So the question is whether I assume that scattering from the dot is elastic. And actually, I assume that scattering from the dot is not elastic. That is, I don't take into account any effects that apart of the fact that the particle will return coherently to the opening before a particle exits. So maybe I have to say a few extra words. So the idea is that when you have this dot with the interactions and an electron enters, then you charge the dot. And so if the dot is charged, an electron has to exit. And if this particle that exits, I mean, it doesn't have to be the same particle that exits. And actually, I assume that the probability that it is the same particle that exits is very small.
So the energy of the exiting particle is the same or different from the
Q-level? It all happens at the Fermi level.
So the energy is the same.
Energy is the same.
It's the latest, right? But it's a general question, right?
Elastic scattering, to my understanding, doesn't only mean energy conservation. It also means that there is a well-defined phase relationship between the incoming particle and the outgoing particle.
Right. And there's also potential scattering and not potential scattering, but the equation was about the energy.
Everything happens at the Fermi level, so there's a linear response. So then there's no effects that eat energy.
So in this sense, your phase scattering phase is a real number, delta epsilon, or real, not complex.
Yes. Yes, but so the point is that the temperature is much bigger than level spacing, which means that if there would only be scattering from the walls of the dot, the phases that particles would pick up because the temperature is much bigger than the level spacing are random.
It would be without thermal energy. But
yes.
Thermal energy basically makes
reinforces the fact that there is a well-defined phase as long as the number of channels is two or smaller. Sorry, one or smaller with spin. Yes.
You must stay away from the event of the resonance.
Yes. So that is what I tried to convey here in this.
So it's one where T is the sum bar.
So here is T on the vertical axis. So if you want to see a perfect or almost perfect coherent response, then you have to stay in those regions that are labeled FL for a Fermi liquid. When you are on resonance, that means x is zero, then you don't get a coherent response. Or if you want to see it from here, it's because this energy scale gamma vanishes on resonance, or so at the charge degeneracy point.
I have to get back to my first question. We are mixing here two totally different things. If you enter into one dot state and get out from another dot state with a different state, then you have real decoherence, you have lost coherence. If you go back from the same state, elastic, coherent. The two things are not the same.
Yes.
And they are not the same as averaging just by different incoming energies of the particle. You agree with that?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah, so there are really two things now. I think you have mostly talked about the energy averaging.
Actually not. So no matter whether I have energy averaging only, which means that the particle still gets out of the state that it comes in, or whether there are some mechanisms that particles that other particles can get out, these results will be true.
It's not other particles. It's particles residing at other levels.
Okay.
No, electrons don't have names. They are
good.
All the same.
Good.
Right?
But yes. So it doesn't matter. It is the charging energy which enforces this coherent response. And in a sense, the dot that I've considered here has a level spacing which is much smaller than energy, or it's basically zero, which means it it doesn't make sense to expect that the particle which enters in one level, that the same a particle from the same level will get back, because the probability is almost zero.
Then it would not interfere with the direct drain particle to the wires.
It
would not. It leaves the environment in a different state.
The answer is that it would not if you wouldn't have this Coulomb interaction inside the dot. Once you have this Coulomb interaction, there is an interference. So maybe another way to state the result is that because of the Coulomb interaction, the dot gets effectively closed, and particles don't enter the dot. They just pick up a phase shift upon scattering from the opening, and this phase shift is very sensitive to what happens inside the dot. So switching on the interactions kind of closes off the dot. Particles never enter, but they pick up a phase which knows everything about the gate voltage on the dot.
Let me just bring up a question. We don't have to settle it now. The Kondo effect is also a coherent superposition, quantum superposition of states. And if one of them, if the other, leave the dot in a different spatial state, then it's not non-kosher. No.
We can talk about it. If you are close to the resonance, then you will just see no interference. I mean, you will. Yeah. So. Yes. So, I think that all the questions about whether it's the same or the same level or not is in the end not relevant. I mean, that. Well, what is relevant in the end is what you see if you change gate voltage if you look at the conductance. And all the rest is a matter of interpretation, I would say. And what you see if you change gate voltage in the conductance is a big variation. It basically means that this energy scale gamma c, which is Ec times r squared times sine squared of pi x, has to be bigger than temperature. So that answers your question.
Yeah, I had a quick question. So you spoke at the beginning about a phono resonance, which I guess is a non-interacting language. And one does see these resonances even if one has extra leads coming off of the dot, because one can get an interference between a straight through path and a path that is resonant in the dot.
So in that case, you see them when temperature is smaller than level spacing. So then they are the usual type of phono resonances. So here I'm kind of talking about an interference which is enforced by having interactions and which allows you to see the similar effects at temperatures that are much bigger than level spacing. And so what I was saying is that extra, or those kind of effects, they are killed if you have an extra opening.
Okay. And is that observed experimentally?
I'm pressuring experimentalists.
Okay, thank you very much.